Welcome to the latest edition of Less Talking, More Running, a podcast brought to you by Aycliffe Running Club. And I specifically say that tonight because we can now get this on Spotify. So who knows who's listening to us? That's exciting news, isn't it, Corey? Got a wider range. Yeah.
Yeah, it is, mate. We're slowly trying to branch out. We started off with just the members listening, and hopefully we can get more people, even if it's just the local North East running community. We'll take it step by step.
That's absolutely brilliant. I should explain, I'm taking the lead today. Corey is out in the wilderness. He's been camping for 4 days. So if he sounds a little bit ropey, a little bit hungover, he is. but I'm just taking the lead just in case he loses signal and drops out. So we'll be checking in on him as we go through. We've also got with us today someone who's very familiar to everybody at the club, I'm sure. Our guest is Tracy Pickering. How are you, Tracy?
Good evening, everybody. Yeah, I'm very, very well, thank you. Feeling exalted company here.
you're more than welcome, and you fit in superbly. We've got Tracy here tonight specifically because we are going to be talking all things parkrun, and Tracy is quite heavily involved in Hackworth Parkrun, I believe. She's nodding at me there, so we've got the right person on. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your relationship with parkrun, Tracy? Maybe about how you got involved and what you do.
I didn't really know a lot about parkrun until I actually sort of went and did my first one. I only knew about it because obviously living in Shildon, going out for walks, I would see this random group of people on a Saturday morning sort of running around the park. I sort of started my sort of fitness and sort of health journey back in sort of 2016. And by sort of beginning of 2018, I was walking every day. And I kept meeting a lady that some of you will know at the club, Dorothy Borrowdale, a keen runner locally here in Shildon. And she kept seeing me on the walks and said, come and try a park run, come and try a park run. So she wore me down and I went and did my first one in April 2018. Turned up expecting there just to be like a handful of people, and actually there was quite a large crowd. And I'd sort of run round the park once in under the cover of darkness because I thought, at least if I can get round once. And the reason why I so like park run was the tail walker. On my first park run, he was fab. I'd overdressed. It was a freezing cold day. Started at the back with the tail walker. He was so nice. I got so hot. He carried my jacket all the way around. and was just so encouraging. You know, he slowed his pace down for when we went up that little hill at Hackworth. And he was just brilliant. And marshals were great as we went round. And I was so worried because I was thinking, God, I know I've been out here like 50 minutes. You know, everybody else had finished. I was so worried. And those of you that know Hackworth, as you come up the finish line, and there was about a dozen people on the finish line, and I actually got quite emotional because, as a lot of you will know, I'd lost a lot of weight, and you know, never in a million years did I think I could walk 5K, let alone run round. And you know, a dozen people at the end cheering as I finished over the finish line was what got me hooked. And started there, carried on as a regular attender. And in those heady days, new runner, you know, like when you knock off like 4 minutes a month, was quite encouraging. And went from that to being tail walker, loved that, met loads of people, loved being at the back of the pack, met some brilliant people at the back. And then started, you know, doing various volunteer roles. And then Christmas 2019, there was no regular run director for Christmas Day. So myself and fellow club member Craig Robinson volunteered to be run director just for the day. And then we've sort of gone on to the regular roster. So that's me and how it started.
I remember you mentioning to me, I think you were doing the results on that Christmas Day as well, and you were a little bit apprehensive about doing the results as well.
I have no idea. I expect most people who do park run, you turn up with your barcode, don't you? You participate in the event. You make sure you get scanned. And I had no idea that you had to, like, process the results and worry about your tokens and... finish line twice, and do you count the dog?
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping that we're going to give a little bit of the behind the scenes, because I mean, obviously, I was heavily involved in parkrun for some time, so I'm aware of how all the processes work. But I do tend to think that a lot of people who do maybe attend parkrun even regularly don't appreciate the amount of work that is involved behind the scenes. And I've certainly sat there, you know, well into a Saturday afternoon, having to manually input results and things like that, just to make sure that they get out and everything. So we'll maybe move on to something like that. Corey, I mean, I've got down here some stats. You've done 46 park runs. You've done 23 at Darlington. You've done nine different ones, Corey. And you've done a couple that actually I quite like the look of, but I've never made to. So do you want to tell us a little about how you got involved in parkrun, or how you found out about it?
Yeah, so the stats you said you've done are correct from my current account. However, I did have a previous account, parkrun account. Yeah, my bad. I forgot my login details, so I started a new one when I started up running. So I don't actually know my true number. There's another Corey Horn out there who's done parkrun before. I can't find him.
I was going to say, I'll have to do some searching around now.
Yeah, but to be fair, I think I only did, it was about 2012, because it was when I was just leaving school, I think it was. This is when my dad was like fully into running and triathlon and all that. And he used to go to Sedgefield, he used to do the Hardwick park run on a regular basis. I remember he took me, I think it was December, one of them I did, freezing cold. And I think there was only about 50 people there or something. I think it was when it was just started up, Sedgefield. I think it started up at the same time, Darlington. Am I correct in saying that, Paul?
Is around probably a little bit before, I think, Sedgefield. Yeah. Probably a little bit before Darlington.
So I did that. I can't remember any of the times I got. But I wasn't really sure what it was about, really. I only did it three or four times, I think, under my previous alias.
you're not one of these Mo Farahs, or kind of like, because I know when I used to process the results, we were always told if you got someone who'd registered as a Mo Farah, or you know, some strange name like that, you were to take them out. But we did have people who'd registered under false names, such as
I've definitely done them under my real name. I'm definitely not real people. Never have been and never will. But that's quite funny to hear. Stuff like that. Yeah, so I did it a handful of times just at Sedgefield, because I wasn't really aware there was other ones going on. It was actually just the one at Sedgefield. And then I did a few, I think it must have been about 2017, at York, when I was at University at York St John. That's just at the race course. I think it's a lap and a half, if my memory serves me correctly. A very quick one, if there's no wind. But I wasn't really as fit as I am now, so I think I was only doing, I say only, it's still a decent time of 22 minutes or whatever, but I was very,
I was going to say, are those tears in your eyes there, Tracy? I can see.
Yeah, but basically me and my housemate just used to do them every so often, just used to race each other. We used to cycle down, it was only about a 10 minutes journey from our flat, and used to race it out, and then we would beat each other a few times. It was a bit of competition. And then I did a few back at Sedgefield when I came back home for the weekend or whatever, started to slowly get back into it. And then I did some more with a few of my friends who were more into parkrun, So they showed me Darlington, even though I know I haven't lived in Darlington, but I've gone to school and college in Darlington, but I've never actually done the park run there. I didn't even know there was one there, but I did it there, loved it. We've done Fountains Abbey, Albert Park, Hartlepool, Newcastle, I think. And I've also
That was on your list. Don't worry, Corey. I've scoped your list, mate. I've scoped your list.
I'm trying to get them all.
No, I can't remember what you, but you definitely had York on, because I was quite intrigued by that one, and I did quite like the fact that you've done Fountains Abbey, because I've never got down to that one yet. I must admit.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that one. I've only done that one once, but I've always said I want to go back again. It's just a bit of a journey down for a Saturday morning.
Tracy, just so you don't feel left out, I have scoped your stats out as well. you've done 79 park runs, 70 at Hackworth, but you have visited 6 different ones. any that particularly stand out to you?
Yeah, Central Vale, Tomberdon, West Yorkshire. It's a fairly new one. I think it's had been going about a year, I think. Our best friends live in Tomberdon. Similar to Hackworth, sort of a Victorian sort of park through that. But as you go up a hill 3 times, you go up through, it's really wooded, and you go right up really high before you come back down into the park. And just beautiful, lovely views from the top of the hill, a little cafe near the finishing line. Really, really, very, very nice one if you're down that side of the country. And my favourite pool was on your recommendation. Cotswold Fields,
yeah.
Hawarden.
Yes.
It was great because it was New Year's Day that I, and you were there, wasn't it, on New Year's Day?
Yeah.
Absolutely stunning. It was a beautiful, clear, sunny day. And you've got no idea, have you, where you start, what the view is going to be. You start on a little rough field and you think, okay. And then you go on right onto the coastal path. Absolutely stunning. It was a glorious day. And I think their usual is about 25 to 30 participants. And I think it's 100 on New Year's Day. So that was quite a big turnout there. But that was, so far, that's top of my list.
I've done Cotswold Fields twice, and I think I was there on New Year's Day as well. Mm. And it's the twice I've done it, it's been absolutely glorious. But I can imagine it must be absolutely awful on a wet or windy day, because you are so exposed.
Or if it was foggy, I'm not good with heights, and I'd be thinking, oh, a bit of a slip to the left, and you'd be
dead. It is very much just along the cliff path, isn't it? At the top. Well, we've been talking a little bit about parkrun, and I know Corey will probably be sending me a message in a minute to tell me I haven't done the first clue for this week's iconic runner. Yeah. So I will give you the first clue and see if anybody can get it. This iconic runner has run at parkrun on 9 separate occasions, spanning 6 different venues. Their fastest parkrun time is 16 minutes 57, and their slowest parkrun time is 34:24. It doesn't really give you much to go on, I'm afraid. But I thought, as we were doing parkrun today, I would throw in some of their own personal parkrun stats.
Very fiendish, yeah.
I'll let you both ponder that one for now. Where was I going to go next? Yes. What is it about parkrun that appeals most to you, Tracy? Is it the chance to test yourself over an achievable distance? Is it the social aspect? Is it volunteering? Or, in Cliff's case, cake?
Cake, yeah. Very important on Mr. P's list is cake, I have to say. He's got a little bit of a reputation there. When I first started, I would say achievable distance. The fact that you got time, because as everybody knows in Aycliffe Running Club, I am not competitive at all. There is no competitive bone in my body. He lies. So that was great because you got a time. And I always remember Susan Clark always used to be in front of me. And if I could see Susan just ahead of me, I'd be thinking, this is going to be a good time. This is going to be a good time. So at first, yeah, achievable distance, beating your time, because that makes you go again, because you think, yeah, you know, I've knocked another minute off. And the fact that other people, a bit like you, Paul, with your stats, other people looked at your stats. I was amazed at that, that people say, this is a PB. I think, is it? Oh, right. great, love that. And then I have to say, in my head, I wanted to get under 30 minutes. And I really, really focused on that. And of course, Paul and John Surtees were there one day, gave me the pep talk. And what did I do? I got in, I think, 29 or something. I was so pleased. And then I sort of, you know, that was just my main thing. And then really, I suppose it's been the volunteering bit that's taken over more, I think, particularly at Hackworth, because it's quite a small group of volunteers. So I've really got to know that group of people really well, and really encouraging, particularly when I've been tail walk, you know, when you see somebody who it's been, you know, a real struggle to get round, and they come back again, and you sort of say, you know, you've done the hardest part, you've come back. So that's been brilliant, just to see people come back, and whether they're walking, running, skipping round, pushing a buggy, whatever it might be, that for me actually has taken over, which hasn't been good for Mr. P's waistline. With that, at Hackworth, we've now got the hub, which is a little meeting hub where we can meet afterwards. And Craig's wife, Nicola, is a fantastic cook. And she makes a triple chocolate brownie, which makes me weep. and Cliff is, and if Mr. P is on marshalling duty and I'm run director, he always reminds me the night before, Tracy, remember, you're run director. You can hide some pieces over somewhere. So I do misuse my role as run director to control the brownie usage.
What about you, Corey? What appeals most to parkrun to you? Is it the fact that you can test yourself against that distance, you know, on like quite a regular basis, or, you know, is it something else?
I'm similar to Tracy. I started off of trying to improve the time each week, really. And again, it's a standard distance, really. So that was what pushed me on to keep turning up to parkrun. But right now, I think it's more about the socialising side. Just meeting up with your mates on a Saturday morning. You don't have to go for like fast out every week. You just go for a nice, easy, gentle jog, or incorporate into it if you're doing a longer run that morning. And then afterwards, like go into a cafe and having some coffee and cake and just catching up with your mates. And I think it's just a great way to start the weekend, really. So I think I'm similar to Tracy, really, all about the cake.
I think for me, it's the inclusivity, which Tracy's obviously touched upon, is that anyone can turn up to parkrun, and they're very welcome, and you know, they're probably made to feel, you know, sort of like even more welcome than the speedy ones at the front. You know, everyone's really positively encouraged. And some of that parkrun terminology, it's changed now. You've alluded to tail walker. It used to be tail runner. They have changed some of their terminology to be more inclusive and to be more embracing of people, just to get them active. And I think that for me that's what parkrun's about, because I know the speedy ones you could go and do 5K on a track if you wanted to, and you probably wouldn't need the incentive of a parkrun to do that. Whereas, you know, sort of like some people will maybe need the support of friends and things along those lines. So I think it, for me, it's the inclusivity, and that's part of the reason why I really got involved in parkrun when I did. But obviously it is nice to test yourself every now and again to see if you can get a time.
I hope we haven't lost that, because I think Corey's right, that sort of social thing on a Saturday morning, for me, Saturday was park run. That's how you started. A Saturday was park run. And I know when it closed that it felt very strange on a Saturday. You know, I'll be checking the forecast the night before and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. I just sort of feel now that I don't wake up on a Saturday and think park run. And I hope, you know, we can get back there, because I think you're right, Paul. There is such a groundswell, and I know on one of your earlier podcasts about women in running, I think again when I started that was very noticeable. There was a lot of women engaging in park run, and I think quite a safe space, isn't it, for people to come along and have a try. And you know, as you say, I've been to, you know, a couple of different places, and the welcome was always the same at any park run that I've been to, which you know, considering it's free, it's, you know, it's volunteer led. What a wonderful, wonderful way to spend a Saturday morning and get people active. Yeah.
No, it's absolutely brilliant. It really is. And the fact that they can keep it free, and it's free, but you can still actually get things as well. Obviously, you'll have had your 50 T-shirt, have you, Tracy?
And I've got my volunteer T-shirt as well,
Yeah, Corey won't quite have got to his 50 T-shirt yet on being on 46 park runs, but, you know, but they're good quality T-shirts as well. And, you know, they obviously get the sponsorship through their partners to pay for this. And obviously they've started, they had a partnership with Wiggle, I think, a few years ago. And obviously they're working with Contra now to promote clothing for runners and things like that. But you get your T-shirts. And when I first started getting involved in parkrun, in terms of from the sort of like volunteer side of it, there used to be a monthly prize as well, which used to be a pair of trainers that were donated by, I think it was... was it Sports Shop at the time? Sweatshop. Sweatshop used to donate a monthly pair of trainers to every event, and the core team would decide who was the park runner of the month. And that might be based on who'd been the best improved that month, or who'd obviously maybe turned up 100% of the time that month. You know, there was the criteria weren't hard and fast, but it was up to the core teams to actually make a determination as to maybe who they felt, you know, was worth it. Maybe someone might have volunteered twice and ran twice, and the fact that you wanted to recognise the fact that they'd volunteered as well, you know. But there was no limit on the price of the shoes either. So people were getting shoes that were £100, you know, as a monthly prize. And that was quite nice, because when I was on the core team for Darlington, we used to sit in the cafe in the South Park, and we'd be pouring over the laptop and looking at all the statistics to see who'd turned up, who'd ran, who'd improved quick, you know, the most, or who'd volunteered and such like. Or it might have been somebody who'd just made a particular contribution that month, you know, to parkrun. But yeah, so it's free, but I mean, you know, they certainly look after you.
Yeah, definitely. So what's your stats then, Paul? How many parkruns have you done?
I have done 183 parkruns at 31 different events. And my parkrun anniversary is the 30th of June from 2012. My very first parkrun was Tees Barrage, because we didn't have Darlington at that time. And it was the first one that I actually found out about. So I do have a bit of a soft spot for Tees Barrage parkrun. And I went there, and the first week I went there, I finished third, and then the second week I went, I finished second, and so the third week I went, I was determined to be the first finisher, and then I discovered that Albert Park in Middlesbrough had one, which was a bit of a quicker course, so I ended up going through to Albert Park more often, and then I was injured at the back end of 2012, and Ian Barnes, who was quite heavily involved in the Darlings and Harriers at that time, I'm sure he still is, was setting up a park run in Darlington. And I was actually unaffiliated at this point. I didn't run with the club. But he approached me and asked me if I wanted to be involved in sort of like setting up Darlington park runs. So I went along to Ian's house one night, and we all had training on sort of like the barcodes and the scanners and such like.
Actually.
Sorry?
I thought you were going to say you all had beer or something to drink.
No, cake. No. So we were shown how the stopwatches worked by the regional ambassador, how the scanners worked, how obviously the tokens work and things like that. And after about 4 weeks, and, you know, as you'll know, Tracy, from behind the scenes, quite a lot is based via email and processing the results online and things like that. Unfortunately, Ian's of a generation whereby he wasn't really getting to grips with the online aspect of parkrun. So the regional ambassador at the time asked me if I would step up and be a co-event director for Darlington, which I was more than happy to do so. You know, but it certainly meant that I probably haven't ran as many parkrunners as I could have done. And still to this day, my volunteer roles actually outnumber the park runs that I've actually run. Yeah. So yeah. I do feel as though I'm in credit for on park run.
I'm
due a few runs.
What would you say is your favourite course so far?
My favourite course, I like. I'm going to go a little bit further afield here because I've done Penryn in Wales, which is around the castle grounds, and that is absolutely lovely. And I finished first finisher there as well, so I was quite. I'd gone down to do the Anglesey half marathon, but thought I'd throw in a quick park run the day before, just as you do. and then a couple of years ago, I did Hartwood Forest Park Run, which is near St Albans. And we were told when we were there, because Claire came down and did it with me as well. We were down there to visit some of Claire's family, and we were going to do Harry Potter World and things like that. But Claire and I went to do the parkrun on the Saturday morning at Hartwood Forest, and we were told that it was the penultimate week because they'd had some issues. It was a National Trust property, but the National Trust weren't happy with the car parking issues around parkrun, so they'd been asked to wind up parkrun at that venue. So we actually did the penultimate event there. Mm. So of course nobody now can go and do Hartwood Forest parkrun. So that one sticks in the mind as well, because we've got that one on our CV, but obviously nobody else can go and do that now.
That's so that's a good one.
You know, I mean, obviously running around a forest or running around castle grounds is a little different to running around your local park, you know, so they stick in the mind. I did Lees's Park up at Newcastle just after Christmas, and it finishes just actually in the shadow of St James's Park stadium. So it's again sort of like you're running towards the finish line, and you're actually running, you know, directly towards St James's Park, which is quite nice. And I did do Mile End Park Run in London when I went to do the London Marathon last time as well, and that was quite nice because you ran alongside a canal for a little bit, and again, you know, I hadn't done that at a park run before. So lots of park runs have got, you know, lots of different qualities to them, you know, local parks, or there's obviously some on promenades, obviously some at National Trust properties, you know, so it's just nice to do the variety of them, I think, really.
I did Perth, I think it's North Inch Park, I think it's called, and that's really, really flat, and but it's right in the city centre, so that was lovely. We were staying in a hotel, and you just literally, you know, and actually loads of people were just, you know, you just out of your hotel, straight into the park in the city centre. That was quite a large, you know, they had, where the token, I was really quite fascinated. You sort of self-sorted your tokens as you finished, because there was, like, I think it was about 500 people, I think.
Yeah.
Something of but they're quite a different sort of system. There was I quite used to sort of Hackworth Park, you know, 50 to 80 runners, and suddenly, you know, this sort of much larger group and loads of people sort of scanning and doing the funnel and things like that. So that was quite different. And I just hope, because Ian and Sam Baranowski, just before lockdown, we were sort of starting the Park Run tour.
Yes.
And I think they got one, I think they went down to...
It was Catterick they did, yes, yeah.
And then that was it. So let's hope when we get started again, we can resurrect the on-tour, Park Run on-tour bit again.
Oh, it would be lovely because, I mean, again, I've got some stats here. I think there's 33 park runs in the Northeast alone. So there's plenty of scope to, you know, to kind of like go to a few. And I mean, I must admit, I've probably done quite a lot of them really, but you know, it would be nice to do a few different ones again. But you mentioned there about the pure logistics of large numbers. I mean, Bushy Park, which obviously is the original park run, their highest single attendance is 2,545 people. Can you imagine? that's more than more races. So 2,500 people pitching up on it, and that was actually on a Christmas Day morning. That was on Christmas Day 2019. So you know, you need a good 5 or 6, 10, 20 scanners, maybe, I don't know. Can you imagine the pressure as well of being the timer on that day?
Can you imagine how your thumb must have been feeling? You know, I can't imagine what that must be like, as you say, when you have to manually enter corrections and things like that. How do you know out of 2,500 people? I'm very, very happy at Hackworth.
Well, it brings me just to a couple of things I was going to mention about sort of like the behind the scenes, but again, some of the terminology. Are you familiar, Tracy, with the term double crossers?
Yes. I didn't understand the significance until I was run director. And you sort of see somebody come up, you think, they've been across the line once already. I'm sure they have. And you give them the stare and you think, no way before you come to the finish line. Otherwise, I'll have to get my little notebook out and note it down so I can do the numbers. Yes.
They are the bane of your life. It is just for those listening, a double crosser is somebody who's maybe finished already. They've gone out, you know, probably with the very best of intentions to support somebody else and run them in. But of course, when they cross the line again, your timers are usually fixated on just clocking the number of people that cross the line. So that person will then get a second time, probably get a second token, and it really skews your results. Tracy, yes. Are you familiar with the term funnel ducker?
No, I'm not. What is a funnel? A funnel ducker.
Exactly. Yes, a funnel ducker. A funnel ducker is somebody who crosses the line, so therefore they get their time recorded, but then slip out of the funnel before they get a token. So of course, you'll have an extra time in your block of data at the end of the park run, but not know necessarily where that time has come from. And that person is a funnel ducker. And normally what happens is it's people that have maybe forgotten their barcodes. Yeah, who don't want to have their time recorded or, you know, such like, which is why we always used to say, even if you've not got your barcode, you will take a token. I don't care because it keeps the results right.
Yes, you become quite, I found myself as run director, you become quite manic on that finish line. Make sure that person gets a token. Please.
You become very, very forceful.
Or could it be somebody like Corey who has another park run identity?
Well, who knows? It could be Corey. Have you ever funnel ducked, Corey?
No, I've never done that. I've always followed the rules. I'm innocent in all this.
You'll probably You might remember, Corey, from when I used to obviously be involved in Dalton Parkrun. Whenever I was the event director and knew that I would be doing the results afterwards, I always made sure that I would put myself down as the funnel manager as well, so that I could literally scream at people when they crossed the line. And there was one runner, he will remain nameless, but he is a bit of a friend of mine, and he runs for one of the clubs in Darlington. He'd absolutely killed himself to really go for a decent time, and he crossed the line and he looked as though he was just about to heave. He really did, and I made sure I grabbed him, shoved a token in his hand before he disappeared off to the side to vomit into the bushes. But I thought, he's getting his token. he is not ducking my funnel. he's getting his token. Obviously, One of the other phrases that gets bandied around and gets mocked a little bit is the fact that they use the term first finisher rather than winner. No one actually ever wins at Parkrun. Everyone, you know, if you cross the line first, you are the first finisher, but you haven't won that Parkrun. And I actually do think that's quite a nice touch, although I have fallen foul before and said that I've won Parkrun, but
What did you win, Paul?
Sorry?
What did you win? Did you win anything when you won Parkrun?
No, just the opportunity to come back and do it again the following week for free.
There we go.
That always used to be the standard thing whenever anyone used to email in and complain. All right, then, we'll let you come back and do it next week for free.
I'll remember that one when somebody makes a request. I did have a request for run director duty on Christmas Day. Somebody said, regardless of the weather, I think because we were forecast heavy, high winds, I think, could you please confirm that you will allow the park run to go ahead? And I'm thinking, how can I answer that question? Yes, and you do become quite diplomatic on those inquiries.
I think I've had to, in my time at Darlington, I think we only ever cancelled four times, and two of them were my decision because I was the run director on the day. But the most obvious one was that it had been high winds overnight, and I don't know if you've run around the South Park before, Tracy, but Corey will know. Yeah, when you start and you go past the aviary on the right hand side, and it's that long path up to the top corner, a tree had come down, and there was literally a tree just lying across the path, and there was just like no way you could get round it, and no way it could go ahead safely. So you know, I did have to cancel it at like 8:30 in the morning and say, when people were turning up, I'm very sorry, but. And everyone was very gracious about it. Everyone was fine. They kind of like went and did their own thing. I think a lot of them did like a freedom run and just like navigated the tree as best they could. But you couldn't have ran a safe run, you know, sort of like on that there. So anyway, we digressed again. I need to get back to the second clue for our iconic runner.
It's easily missed, isn't it?
It is. I know. We get chatting and such like, and forget about these things. Last time, I sent Corey a message because I thought he'd forgotten about it. So I messaged him offline.
I legit forgot about the whole thing.
Anyway, clue number two for this week's iconic runner. So last time I gave you their parkrun stats, this time it's a bit more serious. This iconic runner is a five-time Olympian, having represented Team GB at the Olympics between 2000 and 2016. They are the only British track athlete to have competed at five Olympic Games. So that's quite a high, you know, we've gone from parkrun stats to running in the Olympics. So it just goes to show that parkrun is for Olympians as well.
Ooh. I think I've got an idea.
Have you, Corey? Oh, you hold on to it, and I'll ask you after the third clue. I'll come to you after the third clue. Okay, then. So we have spoken a little bit about parkrun tourism. Do you prefer a little bit of tourism, or do you prefer sticking to your home event?
I think as a regular thing, yes, I like my home event because it literally is on my doorstep. I can, you know, get up and I'm there in 5 minutes. But I do have to say, when Mr. P and I are looking and we're going somewhere, first thing we always check out when we're in a hotel or going to stay with friends is there a park run nearby? And yeah. And you sort of start arranging things. Well, if we came back that way and then stayed the Friday night, that means we could get a park run in on a Saturday morning somewhere. So that has, I have to say, has sort of come into the planning. If we're going to be away somewhere, can we fit in a park run? Has to be the sort of the thing that seems to be what we do now. I mean, not now at the moment, obviously, but no. That's what it was. If we're going somewhere, can we squeeze in a park run?
How about you, Corey? Is that one of your considerations if you're away for the night? Or does it depend on whether you're drinking on the Friday night or not?
Yeah, it definitely depends on drinking. that kind of dictates most of my trips away. But I did do one. I remembered my number 9 destination, and it was when I went to see my uncle in Denmark. I went to Copenhagen for the weekend.
I did wonder where that one was.
Yes, it was Denmark. I just remembered. I think it's pronounced Farlied Parken. That's me trying to do a Danish accent. Worst attempt ever. But it's literally, I think they've got about 3 in Copenhagen. They've got a few in mainland Denmark. But it was a very flat one through some wooded area. I think you do 2.5 laps. It's just by, I think, their national football stadium, this one. But I turned up about 8:30. I always turn a bit early, just do a little bit of a warm-up. So I don't get any injuries. Remember episode number 7, injury prevention.
Indeed.
Pull down is essential.
Indeed.
And it was getting to like about 10 to...
Plug,
yes. I was getting about to 10 to 9 and there wasn't many people about. I'm thinking, have I definitely got the right place? My uncle's like, yeah, we've definitely got the right place. Even though he's never done parkrun before. But he's like, this is definitely the park for it. And then it was like 5 to 9. It's like, literally hardly anyone's here. They turn up at 9 o'clock. We didn't actually start running until 9:10. I'm like, this would not go down well in the UK. This is not how we think how we do it. We planned to start at 9 o'clock. So I was a bit taken back by that. But it was very fun, and I got talking to a few people afterwards, and it was a very enjoyable experience, and I would definitely, if I go back to see my uncle, I'll definitely do that one again.
I would like to do a park run overseas, I think, just to see what they are. I mean, I've done a couple in Wales, but obviously that's not really overseas, I guess. I've done Edinburgh in Scotland as well. So again, probably not qualifying as particularly overseas. But no, I think I'd like to do one if I was abroad. There are park runs in 22 countries around the world now. There's another stat for you. I have been doing a little bit of research before we did this today. are you aware, I have to ask this, of the parkrun challenges?
I've seen the only one that I've sort of participated in is the not parkrun, where you register your time. And then you can see everybody else within your home park run.
Right. That's not what I'm referring to. No.
I assumed that you were meaning some of, because there was like quizzes and all sorts, wasn't there? Am I on the right track
here? There is a dark corner of the internet. And we won't go there, but there is. And I wasn't ever sure whether this was an official parkrun site or an unofficial parkrun site, but I was directed to it by a friend. And it does sound really kind of like suspicious, but there are a number of parkrun challenges, and your stats are all recorded in there. So things like the number of your volunteer stints are all recorded there. The different roles that you've volunteered at are all recorded there. But there are a number of challenges around your runs. And the first one is the Alphabetia Challenge, where you need to collect your park runs, but obviously it's the initial letter of your park run, and you have to get one for each of the alphabet. I must admit, I am only missing 7 of the alphabet. I'm missing an I, an O, a Q, a U, a V, a Y, and a Z. And I was hoping, actually, I was going to be in London at the end of May, and I was going to do Victoria Dock Park Run to try and get my V. But, of course, the concert, unfortunately, we were going to was postponed, and therefore we've not gone down for that weekend. And Park Run wouldn't have been on anyway. But yeah, so there's the Alphabeteer Challenge, if you fancy taking that one on. There is Stopwatch Bingo. Now, Stopwatch Bingo is you have the numbers 00 all the way through to 59, and it's the seconds of your park run time. So if you run a park run in, say, 22:01, you get marked off 01. If you run a park run in 25:03, you mark off 03. I mean, this is all recorded for you. And I am fairly sure that some people will have ran specifically to try and finish at a certain time. I, frustratingly, am only missing 51. I have, without any like a try at all to get them, I'm only missing 51.
That, I don't know whether to be amazed by that or... Look, I think Corey's given up the will to live by that. Look at his face.
Oh, Corey, there are much better challenges than these two. I have to say, there is the Pirates Challenge. Can either of you guess what the Pirates Challenge is?
Not a clue.
No. You have to collect 7 C's and an R. So if you've got. These are very genuine challenges. Oh. So if you need to collect 7 park runs that begin with a C, so obviously you might have Catrick, Cotswold Fields, such as, and in my case, I've got Redcar for my R. But yeah, so the Pirates Challenge is 7 C's and an R. If I was to say to you, there's also a Staying Alive Challenge, what might you think you have to collect there?
Well, I'll be thinking of the Bee Gees, but...
It's BG, BG, yeah. BG.
No!
You're going to show this website to our members, put it on the members page.
Well, as I say, I think you have to log in as your own individual Parker and number and such like, but I'll try and get it, but... It is kind of like a bit difficult to get to, I have to say. My friend sent me the link to it. I will try and get it and put it on when we post the podcast. I will have to try and get and put it on. There's also the Full Ponty, which is the Full Ponty is finishing the 4 Ponty park runs, Pontefract, Pontypool, Pontypridd, and Ponty de Bala.
Yeah.
So, the Full Ponty.
See, this was I thought this would have been divulged to you as a run director. This has not been shared with me. I've missed out on a whole other life of parkrun.
This is obviously the sub genre of parkrun or something along those lines. There's also a Compass Club. A Compass Club is collection of north, south, east, and west. So in my case, I have North Allerton for my north and Darlington South Park Parkrun for my south. But I am missing an east and a west. So I need to find parkruns that have an east and a west in them as well.
Seeing this is on the darkest corner of the web, are you actually allowed to share this information, Paul? Once the podcast goes out and if we don't hear from you in a few days, should we be concerned?
I don't recall signing any contract to say that I couldn't speak about this, but I will try and share the link to members when we put the podcast out, just so they can see that I'm not making this up.
It's like the first rule of Fight Club, isn't it?
Yeah.
First rule of Fight Club. You don't speak about Fight Club.
But the it also records as well, kind of like your tourisms. So there's the If you can get a quarter cowl for 25 tourisms, a half cowl for 50 tourisms, and then a full cowl for 100 tourisms. And you can actually get these sort of like buffs or whatever that reflect the fact that you've done, you know, sort of like the required number of tourisms.
Well, Well, now I've got a quiet moment to myself, Paul, and I can't think of anything else to do.
See, I bet you thought you knew everything about Parker and Tracy.
Well, I've obviously been shielded from this dark side.
Right. The Alphabetia challenge is probably the best one. I do like the Pirates challenge. 3-7 season and R.
Unbelievable.
You're not impressed, are you, Corey? You're not impressed.
Not really, no. I don't mind the alphabet one, but the fact that it's all like this random dodgy website on Samsung.
I will try and send it to you later on tonight, mate, so you can have a look at it. Right, moving on. We'll move on from challenges because obviously, Corey, you're not impressed. Any favourite parkrun memories, Tracy?
I suppose personally, parkrun memories. The biggie one for me was getting under 30 minutes at Hackworth. That really felt like sort of a running and a personal sort of milestone. But I think overall, my favourite one was the first New Year's Day that I did, when I did a double and I went with Sam and Ian Baranowski, and we went and did, which way around was it? Sedgefield first, wasn't it, and then Darlington. Because I didn't fully appreciate, only having done Hackworth up to that point, was when I got to Sedgefield, was like, wow, couple of hundred people. And then when we got to Darlington, wow, even more people, you know, absolutely, you know, you were rammed in like sardines. I just didn't realise how big it could be, and that was brilliant because there were so many club runners there, APF club runners there that day, that each time you went round, you know, there was a group of people cheering you on. So I think that actually was a brilliant day, and I loved that.
I used to do volunteer to do the run director on New Year's Day at Darling. So I think I did it two or three times. But I would always go up to Sedgefield first, absolutely flog myself at Sedgefield to be able to get back in the car, drive back to Darlington and get set up for everybody else following me down. But yeah, I always used to make sure I got my running first and then get back and do the run direct a bit when I'm back at Darlington. So I used to quite enjoy those. What about you, Corey? Have you got any favourite parkrun memories?
One of my favourite ones, I think it was at Darlington South Park, and I think it was event number 300. It was like a keystone event for the parkrun there, and we did like a pacer event, and I put myself forward for it. I've never paced before, and I didn't realise the pressure I'd put myself under when I started running it. I was like, I think I was doing it for 23 minutes, something like around. On those lines,
just a mere 23 minutes there, Tracy. You know, he just throws that in, doesn't he?
Not a lot of effort there, really, is there? Yeah,
well, I think I probably stressed myself out. I think I probably burnt more nervous energy than I would running a bit, maybe if I was going a bit quicker. But, I kept on, had to write down like on my wrist, the paces I had to stick to for each lap. But we had a good group of us going, and we're all encouraging each other on, and just like the appreciation I got given afterwards made me feel like quite good about myself. So I think I did it another two times afterwards. And I think each time I probably enjoyed it a bit more because albeit you're trying to aim for a certain time, I think people just appreciated that you're still just helping them out, really.
I would like to share one of my memories because I always look back on this and smile, but then sometimes I start to shake a little bit. It was when I was actually a parkrun ambassador, so it's not a running memory. I was involved initially in the setup of Catterick Parkrun, and as you'll both probably be aware, it's predominantly run by the Gurkhas. And I turned up for the first time I met Asmarum, and I said, right, okay, you're going to show me where your proposed course is. And basically, he showed me around the main road in Catrick, and it went round the back of the one of the military buildings, and crossed a couple of roads, and then came back on itself. And I think it ran around a cycle path as well. And I said, I'm very sorry. I said, but this is a public footpath. You know, and you're crossing two roads. You know, we can't have that as being used as a course. And he seemed a bit kind of like, you know, why can't you? I'll just put a couple of soldiers at the end of this street here and it'll be fine. And I just, no, I'm sorry. You need to think about where else you might be able to have it. So the second time I went through, we did a loop around two rugby fields, which was fine. And then we went out via some woods, and it was really, really nice. And I thought, oh, actually, this is it. This could actually work, you know. And we got up to where this road was, and he said, oh, well, we're going to put a cone here because we're about the 2.5K point, and we're going to go back, but we go back a different route. And I said, all right, okay, then you take me back a different route. And we got to this ditch with like a stream running through it. And he said, right, and we're going to build a bridge, and we're going to put a bridge here. I said, I'm sorry. He said, oh, it'll be fine. We will get the funding. We'll do this. We'll do that. We're going to build a bridge. And I have no doubt that the Gurkhas could have built a bridge, but I had to say, I'm very sorry, but you haven't got a course that we could actually, you know, use at this present moment in time. So I can't put this forward. So the third time I went up, he showed me again some lovely country trail paths, and I thought, oh, this is brilliant, no problem at all. And then we passed this wall that was littered with empty cases and shell cases, and I was just kind of like, what are these empty cartridges and stuff here? He said, oh, that's just the rifle range there. And I was just thinking, No. And he said, I can make it don't shoot on a Saturday. I can get them to not shoot on a Saturday. No, I am not taking the risk that we run around the back of a rifle range. Shortly after that, I stood down as a parkrun ambassador, not because of that, purely because I was running out of the time I could probably give to the role that the role warranted. Anyway, Peter Richardson took over the role, and he managed to get them onto Catrick Racecourse, which is a much better venue than any of the ones I was shown. But the absolute enthusiasm for Matamaram and the Gurkhas was there, but they just have a different level of what risk, you know, what constitutes a risk, I think, to what what maybe parkrun did. And I always laugh at it, sort of like thinking about what I was shown, and thought, goodness me. Right, shall we move on to the third clue for the iconic runner and see if this drops any hints with you? So I've given you parkrun stats, I've given you Olympic stats. This person is a member of the Exeter Harriers and famously won her first gold medal at the European Championships at Zurich in 2014 at the age of 40 years old, just months after giving birth to her second child. So we've got parkrun stats. She's run at 9 parkruns, 6 different venues. She's ran in 5 Olympic Games, the only British track athlete to have completed 5 Olympic Games. She's a member of Exeter Harriers, and she won her first gold medal at the European Championships at the age of 40, just months after giving birth to her second child. Corey, do you know?
Yes. You need to go to the toilet.
pick me, I know the answer. Is it Jo
Tracy?
Foley?
I'm going to go to Tracy first.
No. Let's go to Corey, please.
Sorry, Corey, who did you say?
Is it Joe Pavey?
It is indeed, yeah. Joe Pavey, yes. Joe Pavey, MBE, yes. And she is, in my view, an iconic runner. Mm-hmm. And I do have her autobiography, her mum runs, on my bookshelf here. Oh, this mum runs on my bookshelf here. You'll find that most of the iconic runners I do, I will have their book on my bookshelf because I can instantly get facts. If you know my bookshelf, you'll probably know then who's coming up next time or something along those lines. Right, thank you very much for your time tonight. I hope you've enjoyed that chat, and we shall see you again on the next Less Talking, More Running. Cheers.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye. Yeah.